popping, everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
What is popping, Ben?
I'm so glad to be sitting here
hosting this show with you today.
It seems like you're really trying. I can feel how hard you're trying.
You're like reading.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah. Actually, this is really funny because we used to do our gaming channel for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
We were playing, I think it was either like Rocket League or Mario Kart
or Smash.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And pretty much what we did the entire time was like sit down and we would play the game while answering like questions that people had.
Yeah.
And as we would go through as we started each episode, you would always just like off the cuff, like do the intro that was always kind of long. Like, do you think you could still do it? Like the randomly chosen cards and characters?
Oh man. Hello and welcome everyone to Super Carlin Gaming Mario Kart Roulette, where Ben and I are trying to 3-star every course with randomly chosen cards and characters.
Goodness gracious. The fact that you could remember it this long later into the future.
Just the muscle memory is there.
I'm in awe. Like, yeah. I mean, we've made now 60 episodes of Popcorn Culture and I still feel much more comfortable reading my intro.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just like, I want to nail it, you know, like I want to make sure that it's like the same, that it's right.
Yeah.
Although today I actually felt like I was like, you know, it's kind of like your inflection can really go up, down, all around and stuff. Like
it totally can.
There's a lot of like little subtleties involved with sort of, you know, how you get after it.
I think I got the Smash Brothers one wrong a lot because it was like the Super Carlin Gaming, Super Smash Brothers, something, something, something. There was a lot of like S's in
a
row.
Yes.
Like on purpose.
Right.
But
right.
It was hard to remember exactly the order I did it in every time. But you're totally right about inflection. Like I remember when we're recording videos, so often the way I will like deliver a line is if like I will say the question I'm asking in my head, like, what does this mean? But then I will just use that I will translate that inflection and just sub all the words out.
Okay.
So it'll be like, what was Woody doing? You know, like,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like it's like you've sort of made it into a question in the way that you said it rather than.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Like that's how I'm deciding how to say the words is like, how would it sound if I was just asking the question?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I just move the words around.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I think there's a lot to it. A lot of good inflection today in particular. Starting off, I was like,
very good.
I got my inflection down. You know, it's like any given day, you're saying the same words, but you can say them differently.
I felt inflected.
You felt good.
Yeah.
I think. Hopefully everybody at home also
felt it. It was inflectious.
Hopefully everybody. Inflectious.
Man, your voice is so inflectious.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We should. That feels like it should be like the Pops catchphrase. Like as people tell their friends, like you should listen to it. It's inflectious.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You won't be able to stop.
It's like once you start listening to just like how these guys go about having a conversation about just old times and such.
Yeah.
You'll need more.
Yeah. It's inflectious.
It's inflectious.
There's no other word for it.
It's my new favorite word. It's my new favorite word. Well done. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
So going back to you, I feel like there's something I desperately have like wanted to talk about and make it slightly real.
Ooh.
Just a smidgen.
Wow.
We'll see how real it gets. But there was, do you remember Ben's Rules to Life?
Oh man, we're talking about Super Carlin Gaming.
We're talking about Super Carlin Gaming.
I
yes,
do remember
yes.
like, yeah, back several years ago, you had developed like a certain like, these are things I, Ben, can count upon
to
be true and judge different situations.
Yes, yes. They were sort of like these general thoughts and guidelines and like observations that like, I feel like for whatever reason, one somehow, some way, I was in like a very pivotal like period of time in my life as well. I had like been in a very long-term relationship and I was in the process of like starting a new long-term relationship with Alice, who is now, of course, my wife. And so I feel like it was sort of this like really like odd space in which I feel like I started like very almost aggressively observing the world.
It's like, I think it's probably pretty common that it's you're in a space where you're really starting to just be completely on your own.
Yeah.
And as a result, like a lot of your go-to touchstones have maybe like become, you like walked away from a lot of them, and you need to like reestablish what are my touch, like what are the things I know to be true? What can I count on? What do I believe? How do I proceed?
And I think that's exactly what was happening. Like to be clear, like before I get too far into like this explanation, I would say that they are guidelines that like I almost cringe like hearing myself.
How
having,
have they aged, Ben?
I don't know. I don't think they've aged well in general. I don't even think they aged well at the time. And I think that there were plenty of people who let me know that, like they were kind of like, this wasn't your best take, you know, like, mm-hmm. these things that you came back with. And I think that with anything, there's an enormous amount of like life experience that happens, and different people experience different things at different points in their lives.
This is exactly... I like where this conversation is going, because this is exactly how like the things that people were calling you on, it's like maybe it's because they had lived a different experience. But to you, your experience led you to these conclusions. Like, yeah, you weren't like arriving here lightly. It's like you'd observed, like you said, aggressively. And as a result, like, this is what made sense to you based on the evidence presented.
It seemed like these things that were at least somewhat reliable, like constants and such. And it's interesting too, because I feel like there was like an experience that I felt like I went through personally, that I also started like observing in others as they were going through a very similar period of time in their life, which was going through college and the belief that you are really dang smart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you had this at all, but like going into like college classrooms where like academia was happening, and like, you know, you were in regular contact with people who's, you know, like had doctor before their name and that sort of thing. Like, it felt like the hot take that I had on everything was almost always taught to me by like a professor or someone who like I just trusted their knowledge so inherently. And it was kind of like, it's like, oh, you don't understand because you're out there in the regular world, but I'm in college right now and I'm learning, like, you know, the knowledge.
The
stuff.
The things.
And I feel like especially coming out of college, like even like my viewpoints on like politics and stuff like that had been like wildly skewed by the experience that I had like just had.
Yeah.
And I think that I was like laying claim or like making, you know, like things that I was like, oh no, this is the way of the world.
I know exactly the feeling, because I think everyone goes through this, especially like once you get into like the end of undergrad, where you're like really into a lot of your major's classes.
Yeah.
And you're really starting to like learn the way of a profession.
Yep.
And like that comes with it a lot of like know-how. And it's like growing up, you're like, I don't know how these things work or how the things fit together. But all of a sudden it's like someone's just telling you the secrets.
Right.
And you're like, I get it. And you feel so informed and like, man, the former me did not know, and neither do you.
Exactly.
I know now.
Yeah. I know the real stuff. I know the answers.
Right.
And so I feel like I look back on that period of time, and it was, I would say, especially relevant for me in some ways, because as I graduated college in 2012 is when we were starting the YouTube channel, the Super Carlin Brothers. And during that period of time, I was like forced into a situation by way of our project. Not forced by anyone. It was my choice, but like forced in the way of like, I needed to come up with something to say, either 3 times a week or 2x a week enough to make a video about it.
Right.
And so the bar for how well I needed to be informed on a particular topic got lowered drastically, to the point of, do I know this topic just well enough to discuss it in a way that I can end this 3 to 4 minute video with a question to the people who were tuned in.
Right.
You know, it was like, I need to be able to discuss it enough to be like, hey, here's something people talk about, right?
Yeah.
Here are my thoughts on it. Okay, go, let's discuss.
Right.
And I think that during that period of time, there would be plenty of examples of things where I was attempting to make a point where now I feel like if I were to look back on it, I'd be like, you weren't really qualified to start that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half the time I don't even feel qualified to talk about the things that we still talk about on the channel today, because I'm like, do I even know Pixar's soul well enough? Like, have I fully comprehended everything it's trying to say yet?
That's okay. You just, you know.
It is what we do.
Yeah.
I give myself enough grace to the tune of like, I can discuss it because, you know, there's that.
Right.
But so one of the things in particular, going back to Ben's rules to life.
Yeah. What were some of these rules?
Well, it's interesting because I was not planning on talking about this today. I didn't even like write it down in our show notes or anything like that. But it's been this like thing that's sort of been like existing in the back of my mind, where one of my rules in particular was talking about tattoos. And
okay,
so I think that the original rule was that like basically in order to like qualify, you know, have like met the necessary prerequisites to get a tattoo, was having like accomplished something so major,
right,
in which like you have now earned like this mark,
right,
you know, of permanence that you have placed on yourself,
right? Like tattoos are only for like are only to be earned, are not to just be decorative.
Yes.
Are not to be just self-expression.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. 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 It's like, I think that's exactly it. Like in my mind, and I mean, you've heard me talk about this on the pot before. Like I desperately want tattoos, but like nothing means enough to me, like
right,
to do it to the point where and not that things don't mean a lot to me. It's just that I think that I have like my brain likes to flit through whatever is super important to me, and it is constantly changing.
Yeah.
Whereas I almost would argue that like I think you could get like a Pokeball tattooed on you, or like, you know, your favorite Pokemon, Scyther, for example. And I feel like that is something that has been true since you were like 8. And you know, it's like 24 years later, still just as true.
Can I tell you a funny coincidence that occurred with that particular thing?
Please do.
I will. My first email address ever was scyther123@hotmail.com.
Hotmail.com.
I know. Amazing.
Absolutely outstanding.
Sixth grade me. But what's great about, what is fantastic about the email address scyther123@hotmail.com,
yeah,
is that I chose the numbers 123 complete random, just like 123.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They go in order.
Exactly. But guess what? Plot twist. By complete coincidence, did not realize it, Scyther's Pokedex number is 123.
It is not.
It is. And I like found out after the fact, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. I totally figured it out. I was like, look what I landed on.
Oh my gosh.
Like anyone looking at this would just assume I knew, but I didn't.
They would assume you knew.
Yeah.
That's like, so we talk about the name of the wind constantly, but inside of the world of the name of the wind, there is this concept of having a knack for something. And it, like the main character, Quoth, has a knack for naming, like, so he can name something, and almost like if like you had walked up to him and said, give me a nickname, like he would just say your name.
Right.
And it would be like, that's literally like he would guess Jonathan.
Right.
And it would be like, he wouldn't even be guessing. He would just be naming you, and it would just be the case that it is also your given name anyway.
Right. This is an unconfirmed theory that this is his knack, but it almost definitely is.
Exactly. There you go. Everybody should read Name of the Wind.
Everyone should read Name of the Wind.
But I almost feel like you had like a little bit of a knack situation going on there.
Maybe
like
I
you
did.
Accidented into a 1 in 150 chance of that being the case.
Yeah.
So that's pretty remarkable.
It was exciting. Of course, the email address is long since gone.
So here's my question for you then, scyther123@hotmail.com.
Right.
This is me writing you an email right now.
Yeah.
Would you get a tattoo of Scyther on your person?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Scyther is a really aggressive looking Pokemon.
And you're a very aggressive looking person.
That's what people say about me all the time.
I know. Like literally, like, you'll walk away from conversations and people are like, that guy is aggressive.
They're like, he may as well have swords for arms.
May as well.
Yeah, Scyther is not like, first of all, not like the easiest Pokemon to draw at all. He's like a giant praying mantis with swords for arms.
Yeah.
Scythes for arms, as the name so clearly suggests.
Right. I get it. Yep.
I don't know. It's like if you imagine Pikachu, it's very simple. You know, it's just like, it's basically just like an oval, a yellow oval with a lightning bolt tail and like two little dots.
Isn't it remarkable though at how simple it is and yet how iconic it is at the same time?
Yeah. Also like the most recognizable character on the planet probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next to maybe like Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Both mice.
Both,
by the way.
Interesting. Look at that.
What's
that?
What's going on there?
Weird.
I don't know.
What is it about mice that makes them so popular?
I have no idea. But so yeah, Scyther would be, Scyther would be hard to find, I think, just the right pose that I would want for such a thing. A Pokeball, I could maybe see. Maybe.
Here's a question for you.
I played a lot of Pokemon.
Because, like, fandoms, and I'm leading it a little bit because I think that this is information I know about you, but I kind of want to, like, get there. Mm-hmm. So, like, what we do is we talk about fandoms.
Yeah.
So, specifically, like, the big ones we discuss are Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Marvel, and Avatar The Last Airbender.
Correct.
And so, like, despite the fact that those are the really, really big ones that we discuss, my understanding of you is that Pokemon is your favorite.
So right now it's sort of like in a backseat zone. I haven't done much Pokemon stuff recently. The most, I would say the forefront of it at the moment is the card game of all things.
Interesting.
But you are not wrong that I do love Pokemon quite a bit, and I have played just so much of it. And I've got Pokemon that I have, like, brought with me through, like, generations at this point.
Right.
I have a Weezing in my Sword and Shield game that I have brought with me from, like, my Diamond and Pearl game. And it was the first Pokemon I ever, like, fully EV trained and stuff.
Amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
And it was like,
and it's Weezing.
It was Weezing. I know. So that's why Weezing, surprisingly, is, like, way up the charts on, like, my favorites list.
Interesting. Yeah. That seems like a hot take.
A hot take. Yeah. Weezing. What? No. If any of the original 150, they have all become so ubiquitous, like, to pop culture,
right?
That any of them are fair game.
Sure.
At this point, where it's like, if your favorite is something from, like, Gen 4 that debuted there and it's not a starter, it's like, okay.
Okay.
You
know?
All right, if you say so, like, you better have a pretty good story or have been, like, 6 when the game came out. But
sure. But, so,
yeah, Weezing's up there. It's interesting, though, guys continue to find new favorites from the original 150, even later in life.
But, no, that is interesting to me. That is interesting. But, okay, so here's a question for you then, right? So you have an artist that you found once upon a time. So, and you've played through, on the gaming channel, which apparently is what we're talking about today. you've done this challenge called the Nuzlocke Challenge,
which is
like self-imposed rules. Where effectively, like, it's like hardcore mode, but the game itself is not actually requiring this to be the case. You just do it, and it's like an honor system thing.
Yeah, if you don't know what a Nuzlocke is, basically, it's you're playing Pokemon, but anytime something faints, it's considered dead. So you have to, like, release it or, you know, box it permanently.
So it's like, yeah, like, something can die one time ever, and then that's it.
That's it. Can't get knocked out ever. Or it's gone forever. And you might think, no big deal, just go catch another one. But no, the other half of it is that you can only catch the first Pokemon you run into in any new area.
Okay.
So, like, if you walk into Route 1, you can catch one Pokemon, and it has to be the literal first thing you run into.
Got
it. It's not like, oh, I ran into a Pidgey first, but I didn't catch it, so I'll catch the next, I'm allowed to catch a Pidgey. It's like, no, that first one is
so,
it.
So can you throw more than one Pokeball or just one?
No, you can throw more than one.
Okay. So okay.
But if you knock that Pidgey out, too bad. Route 1, dead.
You don't get anything.
Don't get anything for Route 1 now.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a million variations you can put on this, but those are the two core rules.
Got it. Okay. So I bring it up because after each Nuzlocke run, you have an artist that you found who you've previously commissioned to do, like, a drawn lineup.
Yes, I have.
Of like, each of the characters that made it through.
Yeah, Megan Tennant, she's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a whole wall here at the office that is, like, covered with each of your Nuzlocke lineups.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It is
really
fun. Cool.
And they are beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, like, my question would be, is there a level of success that a Nuzlocke squad could have that would qualify for a tattoo. Like, what would happen if you did a Nuzlocke that was so wildly successful that, like, every single episode had, like, a million views?
That would be amazing.
Right.
That would be amazing.
Right. Like, so what I'm getting at here is, like, we talk about fandoms.
Yeah.
But you still have, like, the sacred fandom that, like, is not even, like, part of, like, our key lineup.
Right. It's like Pokemon.
It's Pokemon.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens if that, like, rises to the top and you could, like, quite literally be making, we already have a remarkably amazing life for what it's worth, but, like, if you could quite literally be, like, making your entire living
just on Pokemon,
your favorite thing.
It would be really cool, for sure. I would love that. And, like, would then, like, a particular lineup be good enough for a tattoo?
Would it be? Yeah.
Okay. So, interestingly, I would say that certain Pokemon would probably qualify more for tattoo status than Scyther.
Okay.
Because interestingly, having done like, I think six Nuzlockes. Yeah, six Nuzlockes now. There have been several Pokemon that have risen to the top. And that's sort of the point of the Nuzlocke, is to like discover new Pokemon. Like, because you're so limited by what you're going to use, you almost always end up with new stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I do love that, because yeah. I know that back in the day when I played Pokemon, I so had my favorites.
Yeah.
That it was always like every single run was like, I picked the same starter. I picked the same Eevee evolution. I picked the same whatever.
Right.
So like every single time you're going through the game, for me, I was effectively playing the same game and just sort of like letting it roll through.
Right.
Over and
I
over
just
and
enjoyed
again.
Beating it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And of course, there's no wrong way to play Pokemon. If you want to do that over and over, great. If you want to pick brand new stuff all the time, also great. But so what's interesting is that, yeah, you'd think Scyther, as my pre-established, long-time, obvious, never going to change favorite Pokemon, would be like the channel mascot or something for my for our largely Pokemon themed gaming channel.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, why wasn't that the case right out of the gate?
Right.
But over time, the Pokemon that have like risen up as like the stars of the Nuzlocke are the ones that have like really stuck around, and it's so unpredictable, which makes it so fun. I have three in particular that are just like the ones that stand out in my memory as like, these are amazing and I love them. And I would say one of them has like semi become like the channel mascot, and I never could have predicted it ever. And that is the shiny version of Dustox.
Okay.
Which is, it's not even the prettier looking version of Dustox.
Oh no. Yeah.
But if you don't know what a shiny is in Pokemon, like whenever you have a wild encounter without any sort of modifier or anything, you've got about a 1 in 8,000 chance of running into a shiny version, which is just a different color.
It's like with Pokemon cards, even, or any cards for that matter. It's like the holographic.
I guess, yeah, it's kind of like the holographic. So some of them are like Bulbasaur, regular Bulbasaur looks green. Shiny Bulbasaur looks like lighter green, and it's really boring. But
okay.
Like Charizard is an orange dragon, but shiny Charizard, he's like a black dragon. It's awesome. So most people, if you played the originals, you know that like the most iconic one is the red Gyarados, because it's like part of the campaign and you were forced to catch it.
Sure.
So almost everyone gets that one. But going through the Nuzlocke, like I said, I always play with what I call as the shiny clause, which is where if you run into a shiny, you're allowed to catch it no matter what. Because,
oh, I love that.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, great, we run into a shiny. This is just a rare occurrence. And yet, I think I've caught four shiny Pokemon playing the Nuzlockes.
Okay.
Which is outrageous. One of them was the red Gyarados, but the other three, completely random.
Wow. So out of six, with a 1 in 8,000 chance, I guess anytime you run into a Pokemon, which is quite a few per run.
Yeah.
But that still feels like the odds are in your favor.
It is unbelievable how many times it has happened. I've gotten a Graveler, a Dustox, and a Miltank. The Miltank is hands down the rarest thing I will ever run into ever.
Wow.
The particular patch of grass I caught my shiny Miltank in, there is a 1% chance that you'll run into a Miltank at all in that grass. And I ran into... I hit like the lottery twice. I hit like the 1 in 8,000 on the 1% roll.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And the shiny Miltank. Unbelievable. That is another one of the ones that stands out to me, is the Dustox, the Miltank, and then I have a Scrafty.
Oh, a Scrafty.
Yeah. But the Dustox story was weird, because Dustox is a terrible Pokemon.
Okay.
Like really bad. And you'd expect it to die off at some point throughout the run.
Of course.
And yet somehow my shiny Dustox makes it through the entire game, and I am like dragging it along. It's not doing much fighting. I'm effectively I've got like five Pokemon, and I'm like, everyone in the comments is telling me, just, dude, you got to get rid of Siru. Like,
sure.
Like, not helping. I'm like, I will never. I would never bench Siru. Are you crazy? At one point, I had two Dustox on the team. But I got to the very final battle against like the champion Cynthia of that run, and she sends out her, I think it was her Garchomp, which is like her ace signature Pokemon. It's like the hardest Pokemon in the game. And I'm like, and I had to send out Siru, and Siru got one single attack off, and it was Flash. And what Flash does is lower the opponent's accuracy, and Siru did quickly die after the Flash.
Oh,
But Garchomp then proceeded to miss a critical attack later that would have ended me. and it did not. So it had this like glorious ending. Like, it's like one moment.
What a way to go out.
Yeah, what a way to go out. It was amazing. So I always put iconic shiny Dustox. Also a bug type.
It's like I was really there.
It's like you, yeah. Can you imagine?
I can imagine.
Yeah. My shiny Miltank fell before the end of the game, sadly. That was the most disheartening thing. But anyway.
These things happen. But these so you happen. Like they've maybe qualified for
Patches. Maybe qualified.
Wow.
As like, these are the really cool ones that I have the best stories about.
That would be so funny because I feel like then other Pokemon fans would be like, what an eclectic selection.
Oh yeah.
Of like random Pokemon you have tattooed on your person.
Yeah.
Forever.
Exactly. And the shiny Miltank is great because the regular Miltank is like a pink cow. It looks like a dairy cow, you know, and it's like a pink cow. The shiny one, blue cow.
Whoa, even better.
Even better.
I don't know. Pink's pretty cool to begin with. So, hard to say. Okay, I'll have to see some pictures. Shiny Miltank. Sounds like the makings for a fantastic half sleeve, though, is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jay, you could pull it off so hard.
Yeah. You just want me to get a cow tattoo, is what's happening.
Well,
this is my cow. And this is my moth.
They're really legendary creatures.
Cow and moth.
Cow and moth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's interesting though. I think it's interesting, especially with you, who is someone who I would never expect to actually end up getting a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
So to discover like what would meet those qualifications
What would meet it? Yeah. Those would be fun ones anyway.
Okay. Okay.
Who knows?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, okay. So circle back to my original line of thought here.
Yeah,
my original
line. Ben's, rules for life.
Ben's rules for life. It was, there's like this thing that I have like regularly been feeling guilt about because I finally experienced something last year that like made it so abundantly clear how wrong I was.
Oh.
And I feel like that was something, it's like kind of emotional actually, but not even actually, definitely emotional. Yeah. But like the example that I remember giving, like while we're sitting there playing video games, was talking about like pregnancy and talking about like how like people getting like their child's name like tattooed on them or whatever because they like had made it through pregnancy. And I was like, that doesn't qualify. Like nature is on your side. Like if no matter what, you're going to eventually like have that baby.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
how you feeling about that take?
Terrible. Like terrible, terrible, awful. And it's like I feel like like I want to go back and take that video down.
Okay.
Because I feel so bad about it.
And we can probably find it. It's like I think it's a Mario Kart video.
Okay. It's and I think we know the title of the video, which was Ben's Rules to Life.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the past year, Alice and I had two miscarriages.
Ooh,
which was obviously extraordinarily heavy and difficult to go through. And it was like, it's like kind of like a funny thing, like where I very intentionally, after it happened, like knew that I eventually wanted to talk about it, like on the pop, because it was something that was like, I know this isn't something that gets discussed super regularly
in
like maybe like open forum, and it can maybe be like a little bit taboo maybe to discuss. But so going back to, you know, like that rules to life and stuff, it was like, I think that my complete and utter fundamental misunderstanding about just how difficult and complicated all pregnancies can be.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's like jarring how little I knew.
Pregnancy is crazy. And what's absolutely crazy to me, because like I have like so many friends who have kids now,
right,
is that you would think, yeah, get pregnant, have kid,
right,
there you go. But like not one single person's just story of like giving birth is what you might consider like what you would expect. Like no one's is the same story, even though the same thing is happening.
Right.
It's like, no, it is not.
Yes, I know. You're exactly right. Like almost every single like kind of story can exist. Like there are postpartum stories. There are miscarriage stories. There are like complications. There's NICU babies. Like, you know, it's any which way you go, or even on the flip end of that, like referring to like pregnancy in general, just the difficulty of getting in that position to begin with.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's been really, really interesting kind of having gone through it now myself, and then having like these stories and talking about it with friends. And then of course, hearing their stories, which some of which I had never heard before, you know, anyway, because like I said before, it's not necessarily the first thing you might bring up in discussion. So anyway, I mean, I know that that's like sort of a real big step into like a kind of territory that we don't typically discuss here on the pop,
right?
Which is usually rather uplifting, hopefully. But it's been something that's like, I know that I like said these words out loud at some point in time, and it's so interesting to me now to imagine what it would be like to be a fan of me and then watch that episode and hear those words,
right?
And like how disappointing it could actually be.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying, and I will, you know, defend you from yourself a little.
Thanks.
And just
thanks.
Say that, you know, people are like constantly like growing and changing, and like who you are, you know, today doesn't even necessarily reflect who you were yesterday. Definitely not, you know, 5 years from now or 5 years ago or however long ago said video was made.
Sure.
You know, like you're just such a different person. You've had so many different experiences in even over the course of a year, over the course of a decade, to think that like your beliefs haven't changed or your opinions haven't changed or that you need to be held accountable for something you said like 5 years ago as an uninformed, you know, 20 whatever, 4 year old.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if you need to continue to punish yourself for it, but it's certainly still good that you have reflected upon it and grown from it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I mean, I think probably more than anything is that if I wasn't creating, you know, like content for the internet specifically, then I mean, this could have been a hot take that I had with a handful of friends out to dinner one night over a beer, like, let me lay out my rules to life for you guys. Tell me what you think. You know, and I think if that was the case, it probably could have even just been like a completely passing thought.
Right.
You know, like where it was like if you were to ask me, like, have I ever said something that did not age well? It's like, absolutely I have.
Yeah.
Like thousands of times. Mm-hmm. I have been misinformed. I have misunderstood,
yeah.
You know, had like the wrong, you know, like wrong perspective on something. But what's interesting about it is that it stuck with me specifically because it was something that was like then out there. And then there was also like the moment for reflection,
yeah,
after the fact.
Well, you are someone I think who is more introspective than almost anyone else I know, which is not like not like to a fault or anything.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm not. So what I think is good is that you are able to reflect upon it. And like it, you're right, though. The problem that I think a lot of people face is that, you know, you said something on the internet.
Right.
You know, like, so it's out there. You said it. Someone can point to it and be like, look, you said this.
Yes.
And something, yes. I feel like that it's so hard for, especially like if you like tweet something or you put like your opinion out there, it's like as if you have set in stone something.
Right.
That all of a sudden you now like, I said it, I gotta stand by that forever. And it's just that attitude, I think, permeates a lot of just like unnecessary stubbornness and like unwillingness to grow,
yeah,
sometimes. And it's like, just look, I think I wish more people, probably even myself included, could like admit to themselves that it's okay to be wrong and that you were wrong.
Sure.
And like, that's okay. It's so okay.
Right.
Like, and the problem, I'd say on the other side of that is that even if you do, sometimes the issue is that people will like treat your hypocrisy in the moment as like a crime.
Oh, sure.
You know, like, no, wow, what a hypocrite. This guy, remember when you said that?
I know, I know.
And this is like, people, you know what? Hypocrisy is not the world's greatest crime.
Sure, sure.
If at all, it's like, because people be like, why don't you think this? And it's like, okay, I thought about it. You're right. And it's like, well, I'm still mad at you because you used to think that. And it's like,
well, what's the point in trying to change someone's mind?
I agree with you now. And it's like, unforgivable. You didn't come to the conclusion at first.
Right. Yeah. If you're unwilling to be like happy that you've changed someone's mind or changed their perspective on something, then you've lost sight of your own cause. And what you're doing at that point is some version of needing to be right more than anything else.
Right.
And it's like, I think there is a kind of caution I would advise in situations like that, where it's like really trying to assess why you're trying to communicate with people to get them to change their mind, or mm-hmm. what your communication about difference of opinion is really sourced from.
Mm.
Like, is your, like, and we've talked about this before, and I think that probably the current climate of the world is why it's such a prevalent topic, but it's almost like, you know, is your goal to change someone's mind, or is your goal to be right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a dicey one.
It is.
It's a dicey one.
Ben, I feel like I need to introduce something right now.
Okay, introduce it.
I think I need to introduce the element of surprise.
Whoa!
Yes.
I didn't even see it coming.
I know. No one ever does. No one sees the element of surprise coming. So you have perhaps noticed, you've asked me over the past couple weeks, a couple times, like, what are you working on? And I'd be like, secret project. Can't tell you. Well, yeah. I can tell you now, Ben.
What
I
is
can
it?
Tell you. It's all completed. I'm so excited. All right. Let me make sure I've got this right here.
I'm terrified right now.
No. It's going to be
being so secretive.
No, it's going to be so fun. It's going to be so fun. All right. So you will recall in high school, we played a game where we printed out stickers of the Green Mallard Association logo.
I remember it.
And
yeah,
we
fondly.
Stuck it all over the school.
All over
we
the school.
We talked about it on the pop.
Yep.
Me and you and John, we would just, and people were like, what on earth is going on?
What's up with the ducks?
What is with the ducks? Well, Ben, I present to you this game like 2.0 because
what?
I have had our good graphic design buddy, Vaishan, mock up an official Green Mallard Association logo.
What?
And stickers. And I have had them printed already. They have already been, as you're holding them.
I'm
so
holding them
see.
Right this second.
Yes. Can you describe for the people what you're
It's so
holding?
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so grown up from what was originally, I'm pretty sure, created on Microsoft Paint.
Yes, accurate.
Yeah.
Didn't have
any
Photoshop back then.
No Photoshop. So now we have ourselves a small, it looks like 1-inch medallion.
One and a half inch.
Okay. Yep. And it has a green mallard on it.
Sure does.
With the words around it, Green Mallard Association.
That's right.
Right? It's like it's ready to be stuck places.
It is ready to be stuck places, and that is exactly the point, Ben.
We're gonna exactly stick it places.
Point. We're gonna stick it places, but also everyone listening has the opportunity to join the game.
To stick it places?
We are expanding the game from outside of Cave Spring High School, where we are notable alumni one day, maybe.
On Wikipedia. The day will come.
The day will come. We can get into that because we have taken steps in that direction.
We sure have.
The day will come. But I have already arranged this with our store, supercarlinbrothers.store.
You have not.
With DFTBA. And as of this podcast going live, these are now available. So people can purchase their own GMA stickers and begin the game on a international scale.
This is the best news ever.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yes. So,
this is like, what an incredible surprise.
It's so fun. So yeah, they come in packs of 10. So you don't need to worry about wasting them. You can put them in as many places as you want. But here's the game.
Okay.
Is to see who amongst the little kernels can put a sticker in the coolest place.
So you have to take a picture of where you put the sticker.
You got to stick the sticker.
Take a picture.
Yeah. Send it. I don't know. We need like a hashtag or like a landing zone for it.
I think just hashtag Green Mallard Association.
Hashtag Green Mallard Association with you and your sticker. And I feel like we need some sort of like golden duck trophy or something for
we need a golden duck trophy.
Right?
Jay, I know nothing about the world. I've admitted it openly in this episode. Yeah. I do know that we need a golden duck trophy.
We need a golden duck trophy.
So someone who sends, if I'm getting this right,
yeah,
people can buy their own stickers online, which are amazing, and they can stick them somewhere, and then they can take a picture with their sticker or of their sticker, wherever it may be,
mm-hmm.
use the hashtag, and then we will pick, just at times, the best one there is,
yeah,
and make a golden mallard trophy
that goes to them.
Oh,
right, exactly.
Is there a greater honor
than to receive the golden mallard? I mean Ben, maybe not a higher honor on the pop.
I think that in addition to us sending one, mm-hmm. I think that, you know how the Stanley Cup works?
There's the one Stanley Cup.
So like, contrary to like the Super Bowl, like you win the Super Bowl, there's a new trophy every year.
Yeah.
So like, like in Bill Belichick's office for the New England Patriots, probably not in his office, but somewhere in the organization, there's a case of like multiple, like we've won the Super Bowl. But
probably just like garbage cans full of them at this point.
Probably.
You know,
but the thing is, we got that another one. There is only the one Stanley Cup. So like if you win the Stanley Cup for hockey, then you get to have the cup for the year until another team wins it. And then it gets to go and live at their organization. Right. So nobody out there has like a trophy case full of Stanley Cups, plural.
Right.
Okay. So I think in addition to the gold mallards that go out into the world, we here at SCBHQ need...
We need the Stanley Duck.
We need the... the Stanley Duck!
Yeah!
We need the Stanley Duck! We need the
so...
And that's what it's named. It cannot be changed.
We need the Stanley Duck. So now the way the Stanley Cup works is that the next winning team gets like their name added around
it,
right?
Yes, exactly. So the idea in my mind would be that the little colonel around the world who best placed a sticker within a parameter of time will get their own that they get to keep, of course.
Right.
Because I think it's important, you know, that they have that.
But for here at Pop HQ.
We have one that lives forever with their name.
We have the Stanley Duck.
The Stanley Duck.
That has all of the...
Does that mean that the duck pictured on this sticker, which I've been trying to take off for a second now.
Oh, no.
Does that mean that we can nickname this duck on the sticker Stanley?
We sure can.
Because I quite like the name Stanley.
Do you?
I do. For one, holes. Stanley Yelnats.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was basically the greatest thing ever. Wow, you did it so fast.
I just got it right off.
Two, I, in college, had a small space fan that I'm pretty sure is typically used for like cleaning up floods and such, you know, in your home. But I nicknamed him Stanley the Fanley.
Ah.
And anybody who came into my room was always like, is that Stanley? And I was like, that's Stanley the Fanley.
Stanley the Fanley.
I still have Stanley the Fanley to this day. So,
all right.
You know, there we go. I officially have Stanley the Duck on my person.
Your person.
Jay, I could not be more excited about this idea. This is the best idea we've had yet.
I'm so excited for it because I just love the idea that people are out there. And because like the whole fun of the game in high school was just like the chaos of it.
The
genuine confusion you could see on people's faces. I would go into like, I went into English class one day and like there was I'd put a duck on the desk and I was like, just, you know, admiring it.
Yeah. Well, of course.
And our teacher walks around and she's like, do you know what these are? I keep seeing them everywhere. I'm like, me too. I have no idea.
Feign ignorance.
I have no idea. Not one bit at all.
I too am uninformed on the duck thing.
I'm not the culprit.
Oh man, it's because the first rule of Duck Club is you don't talk about Duck Club.
Exactly.
Except you do, and use the hashtag Green Mallard Association so that we know that you've done it. So okay, my mind immediately goes to like when we're on ski lifts, you know, like going up the side of the mountain, there are always like the poles that you go by because the ski lifts don't just float yet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But the good thing about the lack of technology for floating so far is that the poles themselves are great for stickers.
They are great for stickers.
And sometimes people put stickers, you know, like they'll reach out and they'll put it on the pole.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Oh yeah.
Like that's a good example of like where to place Stanley the Duck.
Look, there's no wrong place to put Stanley the Duck.
There is no wrong place.
All.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put them around your school, put them on your laptops, put them wherever. Where you just want people to be like, what is this? What's going on? What's going on?
Exactly. You want to cause like mayhem.
Yeah.
Not like
mayhem, man. Just want to be like, what is the Green Mallard here?
It's like, it needs to be ubiquitous with utter confusion.
Because people will look it up, maybe, and they'll be like, Green Mallard? There's nothing there. Nothing to find.
So maybe that's part of it, is that we never, like, short of this podcast. Like, if you came here, you have now found the origin story. Congratulations. But well done.
This is the greatness, is that even if people look it up, all they're going to find is people posting more of the stickers on Twitter or wherever.
Twitter,
on
Reddit.
Instagram. And they'll be like, what do they do? It's like, we put stickers places. We put stickers places.
That is their quest.
So Ben, where do you sounds like the coolest place someone could get? Like, I don't know. I assume people will outsmart us in coolness.
In coolness.
In like places to put.
But I don't know. I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, there are, like, when we go to Holden Beach in North Carolina, like, there is a restaurant that we like to go to called Provisions.
Yeah.
And inside of Provisions, there are a bunch of license plates
yeah.
that people have like tacked onto the walls.
Right.
And one of those license plates is my old license plate.
Ayo.
And it says aquarium on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. To me, it's like those are like the that's like prime real estate. Like,
yeah.
Like certainly anywhere that there's already stickers, start there.
Start there.
That's a good spot.
But here's the thing. You want to find a spot where it's going to like last.
Yes.
You want it to be like, to like be there, but also be like, no one's going to take this sticker down.
Right.
But like, cool spot.
Like, I think, yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree with yeah. that. Yeah. And I feel like there was like a box in the cafeteria in Cave Spring High School that was like a bit too high that like nobody could ever reach up there to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We had one there.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good one because it yeah. lived for like it's years. Like,
and yeah, I'll tell you, they're not like enormous stickers. So they could just be innocuous.
They could be innocuous. Just,
but you know, but we'll know.
We'll definitely know.
We the little kernels here on the pop, will all, you know, we'll be able to check. It would be so fun if you like encountered a wild one.
It would be.
If you're like, wait a minute.
That's the other thing too, is if you find one
if you
somewhere,
find one.
It's like, especially,
oh.
I wonder if there's like anything that we can do. Like maybe like if you find one, like hashtag found duck, you know?
Ooh.
Or yeah, you know?
Yeah.
Like something like some way to indicate like, I'm still part of the game. I didn't place this one, but someone else did, and
right.
I found it, and I'm here now. And look, I see it. So I like that idea too. I like that idea too. I feel like it's important to mandate no vandalism.
We're not encouraging like vandalism of any kind here.
Right,
it's
right.
Just like it's creating like a real world Easter egg hunt, if you will. Duck egg hunt, maybe.
Duck egg hunt. Yes, yeah. exactly. Yeah. Everybody knows that Easter eggs are in fact duck eggs, and duck eggs are meant to be hidden places.
That's right.
So it all comes together. It's full circle.
Yeah.
No, I think yeah, like hard to reach places is another good one, and
yeah.
especially if you can get a photo of one in a hard to reach place.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that's a particularly cool one.
Right.
I'm trying to think of like other like fantastic ideas, and this is not necessarily like related, but it could be depending on like how likely people are to be like window washers for the Empire State Building or something.
Yeah.
But like, okay, one day we were flying our drone, you know, here in Roanoke,
yeah.
and we were flying it over the tallest building in the area, which is this like one particular tower. And I remember we were like hovering above the needle up on top, which that's what made me think of this. I was like, man, it'd be so cool if there was one on that needle. Like, what could be better? Although, how do you get there? We're going to need a very particular kind of drone.
Right.
With like an arm that can like reach out and be like, boop, a sticker place an arm.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've made that yet. But anyway, I remember we were hovering over top of this building, looking down at like this, I think it's a lightning needle on top.
I don't know.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the needles on tops of buildings are so they don't get electrocuted by lightning, or maybe specifically so that it does get electrocuted by lightning. It really has never been clear to me.
Yeah.
Like,
are you attracting the lightning?
Are you attracting it or deterring it? It's one or the other.
I think it's both.
Maybe. It could be both.
Yeah.
It's
like, hit this point so you don't hit other points.
Smart. Yeah. Okay. I get that. Or maybe it's just for like airplanes or something. You know, there's like a little like blinking light. Anyway, we're over top of this needle and we're looking down at it, and like on our screen, we're like, man, it's a little blurry. It's kind of weird. It's supposed to be 4K.
Yeah.
And it's like, could just be a bad feed. No big deal.
Yeah, right.
So I remember we're recording, you know, whatever. We bring our chip back. We put it into our computer. We're looking at this exact shot because we're like, what a cool shot. And what does it turn out to be? But bees.
Bees.
There's like literally bees living inside of the top of this needle.
Yeah.
Like,
they were not happy about the drone being there. It didn't look like.
It didn't. I mean, it's interesting because it makes like such a high buzzing
yeah.
noise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That they were probably like, you know, hey, get out of our waters.
Yeah.
And, but now I'm like really curious, because like, what if they had like a beehive inside of the needle, and so it's like full of honey, and then it got struck by lightning? What happens to honey when struck by lightning? Or is it immune to lightning? It could be.
I have no idea what happens to fried honey.
What happens to honey when struck by lightning? That's a Google search.
How many people do you think have wondered that?
Tons. Everybody wonders, Jay.
Yeah.
Someone needs to. So anyway, point of the story is, well, one of two points, really. One is, someone please explain to me the point of the needle. Two, can we get a sticker on one?
Can we get a sticker on a skyscraper or on a needle?
On a needle.
Yeah.
You know, because like, that would be neat. And then especially if there was like a picture of the sticker on the needle. So like, if you've got like a job that like allows you to like go to high places,
mm-hmm.
this is the game for you.
Like, you mean the high places, like you mean like skyscrapers.
I mean skyscrapers or airplanes.
Airplanes.
Or hot air balloons.
What about like what about like mountain peaks?
Oh, mountain peaks would also be great because a lot of times on mountain peaks, if you get to the very, very tip top,
yeah,
there is not a lightning rod, but instead there is a sign that says like, hey, congratulations, you made it to the top of Mount Everest.
Right.
Like elevation, and then it'll have like a number carved into it.
Yeah.
I don't know the elevation of Mount Everest right offhand. But
me neither.
I think it's a lot. 27,000 feet. That's a guess.
Sounds cool.
But it would be really cool if there was one there. You know, people are like, oh, man. I mean, it's not Mount Everest. I was not expecting Stanley the Duck.
What?
Let me take a selfie.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. So anyway, I'm excited to see what happens.
I am also excited. So these are available right now at SuperCarlinBrothers.store.
Right now at SuperCarlinBrothers.store. Yeah. You can buy them in packs of 10.
Packs
so
of 10.
You can get sticking.
And then again, yeah, be sure to use the hashtag Green Mallard Association, or if you find one, hashtag found duck.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. Okay.
Okay.
That was a genuine surprise. Well, I did not know that you were doing this. Like, I remember there was one day that you had a box.
I did, yeah.
And I was like, why are you being weird about this box, man? Like, I bring boxes into the office every single day.
Can't look at that box.
I'm never weird about the box.
Yeah.
And you're being real weird about this box right now, and I have no idea why.
Now you know.
And actually, as you were getting ready to tell me, I was like, he's gonna make me like eat like something really spicy. You know, I thought it was going to be like a 10 gajillion simoleon pepper.
Just on the fly. Guess
and
what?
It was going to be like,
surprise!
The element of surprise!
Nobody expects the red. Actually, fun story. I got these stickers are printed, I think it's Sticker Mule.
Okay.
And when you order the stickers, inside the box is a bottle of hot sauce.
You're kidding
me. As well.
Me.
And it's called like Mule Sauce or something. I don't know.
Wait, so I correctly guessed something spice related, even though I didn't mean to?
I
Is
guess
it like a knack?
Maybe it was a knack. Maybe you have a knack for guessing spicy things.
It's like, I just know they're near.
I just know it's nearby.
I don't
nearby.
Know why or how, yeah. But I know they're near.
So anyway, we have in our possession this tiny little stack of stickers. Inside the box was the other stickers we had ordered, and it has since been sent off to the warehouse.
So that they can be distributed out to the worldwide.
Yes. And the hot sauce went with the stickers, so.
Oh, no.
So we don't have the hot sauce anymore.
No. But someone has the hot sauce.
Someone has it, or it's in transit or something. But,
excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm very excited about that as well.
There we go.
Okay. Man, right. Well, this is great. This is great. Well, speaking of packages randomly arriving, I'm going to tangent hard. Well, not even tangent that hard. It's almost in the exact same place. So lately, we've been getting some stuff for our office, and it's because we moved offices again. There was like once again the need to get like a variety of new things, and then we're getting ready to have like our popcorn culture like visual set. So we like needed like a new camera, new lights, and like all this other stuff. And so the new office, for whatever reason, we like can't accept packages here. So I've been delivering them all to my house.
Right.
And I've been ordering stuff over the past like couple of months.
Yeah.
And some of these things are like made to order. So like it just takes time. But this past weekend, I had every single thing arrive.
Perfect storm.
At my house. Yeah. Like, I kid you not. Over Saturday and Sunday, I had 37 packages delivered to my house. God.
So you, and it was like stuff you ordered 3 months ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 days ago, all decided this was the day.
This was the day.
Yeah.
All at once. I have one of those like Ring doorbells.
Yeah.
And I like, you could see the frustration on the delivery people's faces.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I am certain they all hate me. UPS, FedEx, USPS.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. DHL. if you're a delivery person, you are like, this Ben Carlin guy needs to stuff it.
Yeah.
like someone get him to stop ordering things. So anyway, I got to show up today with a myriad of new boxes.
Excellent.
I know. It was my entire truck was like,
it was
fit to burst.
If you don't know, we live on our office is situated several floors up and there's no elevator. So we had to huck those boxes up here, and we've slowly been unboxing them all day. We were so close to like cardboard zero here at the office.
Well, cardboard zero is always the goal.
It's always the goal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have the same problem at my house. It's like, and this is like one of those tasks that's like specifically allocated to me.
Yeah.
It's like one of the things I'm supposed to do, like one of my duties is breaking down the cardboard boxes and putting them in the recycling.
Yeah.
And it's like, I do it every single week.
Yeah.
And it never ends. And I always think it's going to. I'm like, this is going to be the last thing I need for a long time.
Like, I ordered a bunch of stuff, which is why it's a lot this week.
Right.
But certainly I'll be on top of it and moving. Oh my God, it's back.
It's back.
The cardboard mountain.
I know.
As it were.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a lot.
In other news, we have an item in our office now that might be my new favorite item that we've ever purchased.
Oh, speaking of fun orders.
Speaking of fun orders. It's a sword.
I'm
looking right at it.
You are looking right at it.
It's like, I can't even tell you. Like, it's not even the first time we've bought a sword, miraculously enough. Like, we have the Sword of Gryffindor.
We do.
From Harry Potter, of course, which we've previously taken apart from its, like, mantle that it comes on and used, like, saber a champagne bottle.
Yeah.
Which it did, in fact, work.
It did after a try or two.
After a try or two and a little bit of breaking.
Yeah.
So if you ever see us holding the Sword of Gryffindor in, like, one of our videos and we're, like, holding the handle in a very particular way, it's because it's broken. But so I was really excited about that. But recently we ordered Quoth Sword from The Name of the Wind.
Right.
Which, yeah, I don't know if I brought that up yet. Again, this episode, you know.
Yeah, everyone should read The Name of the Wind.
Everyone should read The Name of the Wind.
Yeah.
But it is like child me is so excited that it finally happened. Like, it is so absurdly cool looking. And I'm so proud of myself for reaching a place in life that I can have this sword, which I will say, like, the Sword of Gryffindor is like a paper cutter. It's like a stiff piece of metal.
Yeah.
The sword, the Quoth Sword, is like a sword.
Yeah.
Like, it's sharp.
I mean,
it's,
if you poked someone with it, they would bleed.
They would
maybe need. If you like slashed someone with it, it might just leave like a blunt bruise or something. I'm not sure it would totally break skin.
It might break skin,
Jay. It might.
I wouldn't test it.
I'm certainly never going to test it at all, but it is hands down a really cool looking sword on our wall right now. And it's like, do you remember? I'm sure you do. It fulfills like a very like childhood dream to own a sword.
Yes.
Like, there's always that like feeling like, man, like, you know, you go to the store when you're a kid and some, like, you know, how many fake plastic swords did you play with for an hour until they got like a bend in them and then it was just like gone.
The bend.
No good.
I know. It
no
would be fake plastic swords or like wrapping paper tubes.
Yeah, wrapping paper tubes. Good until they creased.
I know. And no then you're done.
And then, like, I remember in high school, there's always every teenage male listener knows about that kiosk at the mall that has all the, for some reason, has like samurai swords and like throwing stars and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you walk past it and you're like, I know this is all really stupid. I'm not supposed to be interested, but like, man,
are those Wolverine claws? Man,
like, are those Wolverine claws
inside of that glass case? Like, I don't know what I would do with them.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
But I know that I need them. This is okay. For real though, when I was a little kid, there was Boys Life magazine.
Yeah.
It was like the magazine that I think went out for like the Boy Scouts of America or something. And it had like a variety of like knot tying tips and like random, you know, I don't know, little stories and stuff like that in it, like the Eagle Scout projects or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the back of it, they had like a little catalog.
Yeah, they did.
And inside of that catalog was this like selection of like 8 like knives that you could buy that were like, I mean, I don't even know why any, I actually don't know the functional purpose of just about any of them. Like, but they were just like, I thought they were the coolest things ever. And it was like, how am I going to save up $8?
Right.
Like, I need $8 to get this buck knife. Like,
gotta have it.
Which, now looking back on it, feels like maybe kind of a good deal.
$8. $8 for a buck.
$8 for a buck knife.
Seems like it probably wasn't a very good knife.
It probably wasn't, but the picture looked awesome.
Right.
Also, I'm pretty sure in Aladdin and the 40 Thieves, or is it Aladdin and the King of Thieves? What is the name of the third Aladdin?
Aladdin
movie?
And the King of Thieves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't he get a dagger in that?
It's like a pretty jagged dagger.
Yeah,
it's got like a curved blade back and forth, I think.
Does it have a curved blade? And now I'm trying to remember the dagger that I'm thinking of. Maybe. Hang on. I'm going to pull it up while I'm talking to you.
You know, one of the guys in that movie, like the main villain, he's got like sort of Wolverine claws, if I recall.
He does indeed. Mm-hmm. He does indeed. There you go. Okay, this is the dagger that I'm imagining. It has like
like
King Midas's hand on it,
right,
or something. But like the dagger itself, Kasim's dagger. That's Kasim, what it's called.
That's his dad.
Yeah, that's
the
his
king
dad.
Of thieves.
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you that I was so, I mean, this is the real inspiration for wanting that buck knife is Kasim's dagger.
Wow.
It's like, I needed it. It was, I was like, and again, I had no, yeah, like, nothing no to do with it.
Yeah.
No, like nothing at all. And I remember at like, again, as a kid, so I was so excited about getting like my first ever pocket knife once upon a time.
Yeah.
And same thing. I was like, I didn't know what to do with it. I just know I wanted it. And so I remember I was like really, 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 really determined to like whittle. You know, like I didn't like
carve wood.
I didn't like carve things into other things. And I, for whatever reason, I got really like transfixed specifically with carving soap.
Okay.
Like that was like, because I think it was like so much softer. So like it wasn't hard to whittle, where it was like wood.
I don't remember you carving a lot of soap.
Oh, I carved a ton of soap.
Did you?
Tons of it.
I do not remember. What were you carving it into?
Almost nothing at all. Yeah.
In a smaller bars of soap.
In a small, like, I mean, it was like, yeah, I drilled a hole in it, you know, like. But like, I remember I would go out and like sit on these like wood steps in our backyard. They were like big railroad ties, like, but they were steps.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
went down. And I remember I'd like sit out there, and I think that there was like these moments like you would witness in like movies or shows or things like where somebody was able to like sit down and like carve something into something meaningful. And I'm pretty sure that I just thought that if you went and sat in the exact same position that like you would end up with like a perfectly carved horse or something. like
I'll just, it's just gonna happen.
Right, like
I don't need to know anything about sculpture or art or horses or
right. I'm not attempting to actually do anything, but I'm sure by the time I'm done I will have a perfect right. horse.
Inside of this soap is a horse and I'm just shaping it.
I'm just getting there.
Yeah, I'm just getting there.
And most of the time when I was carving was like the hotel soaps.
Yeah, oh,
you know, so
oh,
they were
okay.
like they're like these like little flat
then
pads.
Not even like a good like solid bar of soap.
Not even a good solid bar of soap, but our babysitter was our next door neighbor when we were growing up. And I remember behind her, like, or sitting above her toilet mm-hmm. was like a whole basket full of these things.
Yeah.
And I would take them.
You would take them. I have a story about the soaps too. Okay. So also next to the soap, there was like a tissue box.
I remember the tissue box.
The tissue box was covered by it was like a, I don't know, a tissue box cover, I guess is what you would call it, but it was made of cloth.
Yep.
And it looked like a house.
It did. It I remember
like, it looked like a house, and it had a chimney.
Yep. A chimney
part to it. And every day I would take one of the soaps and I would put it like down the chimney. Every day. And then, like, this is the unbelievable part. Like, I would put it out of sight. You could not see it anymore. And every day I would come back the next day and the soap would be gone. Like,
what? She like, was repairing like the situation?
She was noticing it every day and rectifying the situation every day.
Like, oh my to me, gosh. I
was like, how? Man, it was like baffling to me. It was like, man, who is checking this?
The level of diligence
the level
involved.
Of diligence. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, I was like, I'm going to sleep in the chimney.
I'm up every day.
Every day.
I wonder the things that she was telling our mom. Like, yeah. It's like, I found another piece of soap in the chimney again. I don't know why they keep doing it. It's like literally those tissues, you probably need to change the box for like 7 years. Like so few tissues were being
right.
like gone through.
I've been using them.
I mean, at that age, I didn't even know how to blow my nose. So it would be another
I certainly wasn't
13
using
years.
The tissues. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, that is absolutely hilarious that mm-hmm. we remember so much about this particular toilet, soap, tissue box situation. It really left a mark on us, didn't it?
Apparently.
Oh my gosh. Well, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Jay, I feel like we've delivered a hearty episode of ups and downs all around today here on The Pop.
Yeah.
As always, we need to give a special thank you to these patrons who support us over on Patreon, including Olivia Buckman, Caitlin Kamey, Jason McDaniel, Sarah Frederick, Andrea Guerin, Logan Liphart, Corey Evans, Cade, Peyton Smith, Josh Davies, and Sierra Vigil Trulio.
Well, thank you all so much for your support over on Patreon.
Yes, if you guys would also like to support us over on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. We have 3 tiers, and each of those tiers is basically you casting your vote for who is the one true host of Popcorn Culture. They're mm-hmm. all 3 the same thing. They all 3 get you the same things, but you can cast cast a vote for, you know, Buzzy B, the mm-hmm. one true host,
yeah. or for Jazzy J, the other host right now.
special guest or the or no host.
No one wants no
which,
host.
Which, I mean, like, I can't even imagine what would happen. But our game plan, if no host ever won, would be to literally just open the episode with like that intro music and then just silence just for like silence. 10 seconds, which I'm sure would just plummet our metrics. People would be like, stop sharing this one. Like literally everyone turned off the show in the first 10 seconds. And it's like, no worry. We talked eventually, just not immediately.
There was no host.
There was no host. So it had to be quiet.
Yeah.
And like, we'd probably both be in like terrible moods that day. No doubt. Maybe the day will come. I feel like it would require a considerable amount of organization amongst the colonels to really truly pull it off.
It would.
Probably. Anyway, guys, as always, thank you so much. Until next week.
Pop, pop.